You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Ferris State University's Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia has an important mission: to use objects of intolerance to teach tolerance and promote social justice. The museum recently got a significant donation to help it towards that mission. An anonymous donor has given them 135 Polaroid prints from photographer David Leventhal's famous and controversial blackface series, value some $2 million. David Pilgrim is founder and curator of the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. He is with us now via Skype. David, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about these photographs. What was it that David Leventhal photographed for this blackface series?
We probably shouldn't use the word prints. In actuality, what we received were probably half the collection or one of a kind. They are almost poster-sized Polaroids. It made sense for them to donate this collection to us because many of the images in the Polaroids are actually objects that we have in the Jim Crow Museum. The Jim Crow Museum is the largest publicly accessible collection of racist objects in the U.S. I dread to say how many pieces we have because we are receiving objects each day. I think last year we received about 600 objects, but we certainly display in excess of 10,000 objects, and we probably have another 5,000. People come there to have intelligent discussions about race, race relations, and racism. We are not a shrine to racism. What we are instead is something of a museum as laboratory or learning lab. I know it sounds corny, but we believe in the triumph of dialogue, and that's exactly what we're doing in the facility.
When we see these Polaroids, these large Polaroids from David Leventhal, what are they showing us?
Well, they're showing toys, games, banks, you know, small objects. And it's really amazing. And I don't like using the word amazing, and I just did it. But what he has done is found a way to capture these images in a way that almost makes them look like they were real people. The quality of the pieces are, you know, top flight, top drawer. But our purposes are less about the greatness of the art and more about what it is that's being photographed. And so if you think of the everyday objects that people had, and quite frankly, some people still have in their homes, you know, salt and pepper shakers, as I said before, toys and games. He brings his camera in such a way that it gives life to that racist, contemptible object.
These photographs, this blackface series, have been controversial. The Philadelphia Institute of Contemporary Art canceled the exhibition, and Leventhal, in an interview, said he is very aware that these images make people uncomfortable. What do you think Leventhal is saying with these photographs about race and stereotyping?
I think he's, first of all, putting it out in the front of people so that you can't not see it in much the same way that we do. We, of course, have an advantage over some other facilities. I mean, we actually have racists in our name. As far as I know, we're the only museum in the U.S. that focuses primarily on racist objects. And so we have experience contextualizing both historically and in a contemporary way these objects. Again, they fit neatly into the work that we do. We bring people into the facility. We have them look at an object and we ask simple questions. What is it you see? What is it you think you see? Why is it you said that? And then we have them listen to others. And of course, we always have a docent present. We are trying to facilitate discussions about race. I think it works. I think these pieces will be great tools in our tool chest.
Is upsetting people, making people in a state of discomfort, David Pilgrim, is that part of the process of teaching tolerance and getting people to think in new ways about social justice?
It was in the 1960s and 1970s. That, quite frankly, is not our objective. While it is the case that people bring their own experiences with race into the facility, and there are people farther along than others on this racial journey, if you would. So you can't be a completely academic facility, but our goal is to present the material in a way that is sound in terms of scholarship, So it is much like if you were to have hundreds of history books about race relations and you took the images that are in those books and put them in one place. The difference with us is we have the objects that are in those images. We are not trying to provoke people in some tantalizing way. We truly won't. And again, I feel like I'm sounding kind of mawkish or corny or trite, but we really want to engage visitors in discussions. Now, again, I have an advantage, which is I have seen this work. We've been doing this work since the mid-1990s at Ferris State University. We moved into a larger facility where we are now in April of 2012. We've had thousands of people come in. We've had people like Malak Shabazz, the daughter of Malcolm X. We've had Henry Louis Gates. We've had Henry Rollins. But we've also had just Americans, people like you and I, who just want to learn. And I've seen it work. So for me, when I talk about our approach, it's not really so much an abstraction, because I've been a part of literally hundreds, if not thousands, of conversations where people engaged the material.
I'm curious, you say you are getting objects added to the collection all the time. So what is the most recent piece you have in the museum?
Let's see, someone just sent in a door stand, sort of like the dumb waiters. Mm-hmm. You know, the inanimate objects that people would put in the front of their house, and it's about 3 feet tall. It welcomes the person into their home. So someone sent that. And we recently got a collection of 30 or 40 pieces that were primarily ashtrays.
Are there things still being produced? Something contemporaneous where you could say, my gosh, that was just made?
I believe the U.S. has made considerable progress in terms of becoming a more democratic and egalitarian society. However, I believe that there are no images / objects in our museum that are not currently being made. Some of them are being made as fake antiques. Some of them are images and objects that have morphed from the past to the present. So in the museum, despite our name, we actually have a section which we call contemporary objects. There's a whole section on racist portrayals of President Obama, and that would be an example. So yes, if there's a race-based incident that occurs, which receives significant national attention, there will be a two- or three-dimensional object created within 1 week. And again, that's not a hypothesis. That's me having done this work for more than 20 years.
David Pilgrim, if you're curating this museum, let's say 20 years from now, what do you think from our era, 2018, as we speak, what would go into the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia?
Well, one of the fortunate things we did was we did not stop collecting objects. So you think because of our name, we'd only have things from the Jim Crow era, 1870s to the 1960s. However, we collect modern pieces. So as I was saying, if there are racial incidents, which I have no reason to suspect that we won't have some, whatever they are, I have to tell you, though, there has been a sort of spike in racial objects that have come to our attention over the last 16 months. I don't think you have to be a sociologist to understand that there's a kind of racial rhetoric which exists today and is being broadcast today that is reminiscent of the 1960s and 70s when I was growing up under George Wallace in Alabama. So I think those objects will be reflected. But I have to tell you, the first thing I thought when you said the question was, I hope I'm still around 20 years from now. So,
of course. So what might be one of these objects that to you says, yeah, that was 2017, 2018? Give me a for instance of one of these objects.
It would be probably something in the political realm, because those are objects that show, like in the case of former President Obama, when he's being portrayed as a monkey or a witch doctor or, you know, Tom caricature, I will always associate the defaming of him with this period. Having said that, I can't think of a politician with whom I agree. And yet, one of the things that I say to people in the museum is, just because we disagree with someone does not mean we have to reduce them to racial caricatures. The museum also has small sections which deal with African-American response to racist imagery. And so we have a section on African-American achievers and African-American thinkers and artists who use their art to deconstruct racism. That's not primarily who we are, but that's an important part of the story. And my favorite piece is an ink pen that President Johnson used to sign the 1964 Civil Rights Act into law. And I have that piece. And so we also collect that material. And it's not a good segue, but I also want to add that, you know, we also in the early stages of building a sexism museum, because I believe Dr. King, when he said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
The Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, the mission, use objects of intolerance to teach tolerance and promote social justice at the campus of Ferris State University. And you can find out more information about the museum by going to ferris.edu. David Pilgrim, it is a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.